I know.
Hi, Michael.
Hi, how you doing?
Good,
I was
good.
Going to, but I had to do some business. So.
I absconded it for lunch, you know.
You did?
I did.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Well, you guys need some bonds.
I thought about it, and then it sort of just worked. Because you probably had a better gig anyway.
I need some bonds.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
You're wanted all over the place. You know, the drawer when you
I'm getting,
to
I'm getting nervous.
Yes. Oh, man.
Okay. Okay. Jason, my
we're seeing these things on the agenda. I know. Jason
Lynch.
Jason Lynch.
Yeah.
Seems
like crazy.
Okay. Yeah. So what's your
lady's
name?
Adriana was supposed to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, somebody's got to introduce somebody. So
took
Nancy's place. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. Because I was wondering, I've seen all these things, Jason Lynch, I said, all right, he's getting control of our agenda. You know, because usually I was the chair, and now Steve's there. I thought we'd get people from all over the city send stuff up to us. Okay, great. So I'm trying to be quiet and let him take control here, but I was just wondering about that.
So. I started November 1st, so right after your guys' last meeting.
After our meeting? Okay, great. And I've been kind of... with the holidays and then tax season, been kind of busy, you know. This wasn't the best time for meeting for me work because he's going to have to get off. It looks like it's going to be a pretty light agenda.
Yeah, you guys just let us plow through it. We'll be out of here in like 10 minutes, right?
Yeah, that's my intention. Well, I just need to think of a couple things. There's one thing in there that I'm kind of concerned about that will probably come up. Okay.
I'm not sure which will go first.
Particular.
Sure.
Thanks.
Hey. So, when did you get manager? Well, not always happens. But I'm sure up until that point, I don't think you were complaining.
No.
Yeah.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the first audit committee meeting of 2018. We're called to order, and we'd like to take a roll call.
Chairperson Ferguson?
Present.
Vice Chairperson Bertrand?
Here.
Member Bagwell?
Here.
Member Mayhorn?
Here.
Member Strasburg?
Here.
Quorum is present.
Great, we have a quorum. Doesn't look like we have any public here, but public comments and discussion. The public is invited at any time to comment on and discuss any topic that is relevant or within the authority of the Carson City Audit Committee. In order for members of the public to participate in the committee's consideration of agenda item, the committee strongly encourages members of the public to comment on the agenda item during the item itself. No action may be taken on a matter raised under public comment unless the item has been specifically included on the agenda as an item upon which an action may be taken. That's it for public comment. And then approval of minutes from the prior audit committee meeting, which was on October 3rd.
Mr. Chair, we actually can't vote on that because it's not, the date is not on the agenda. So we need to give sufficient notice to the public of which items are being approved.
Okay.
So if this will just...
We'll table that till the next meeting.
Perfect.
And make sure the date's put on it for that meeting. Okay. And we have a new audit committee member. The prior audit committee member, I understand, is running for office. And we'd like to welcome you aboard.
Thank you very much. Chairman, it's a real pleasure to be here and contribute to the city of Carson.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it. Next item for possible action is adoption of the agenda for today, February 21st, 2018. Do I have a motion to adopt it?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, we have a quorum. Thank you. Now on to number six on the agenda, meeting items, 6A, for possible discussion. Not sure, I think, Jason, you're going to be handling this to start?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, Jason Link, Chief Financial Officer. So agenda item 6A is a discussion and direction to staff regarding the current audit work plan. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Mark from Moss Adams.
Good afternoon, Mark Strank with Moss Adams. Thanks for having me. So you have your standard, typical couple-page status report. A couple things to just draw your attention to. The under schedule status, and I'll kind of cover everything under sort of that list. Large public works project review and the grants management internal controls testing. Those are both well underway. We're nearing completion of the large public works project review. We're just about to start testing of the grants management internal controls testing. I anticipate we'll be delivering that report, the reports for both of those the next time we meet, depending on what we end up settling on dates. If we meet in April, we should be presenting both of those to you at the next meeting. The IT security review, I'm going to leave that to last and come back to that. To talk about that a little bit. Probably same with performance metrics. The Public Guardian follow-up review, we're going to start that in May. We want to give them as much time as possible to get things in place. I know they've already made progress, as you'll see from the audit findings tracking report, which is great. Everything is within budget, as it typically is, or as it always is, to be truthful. Fraud, waste, and abuse, we had two reports since we last met. One was just an inquiry about when the audit, the fraud, waste, and abuse program was set up, so that was just sending information back. The other one it turned out to be a non-city issue, but it was a little bit humorous that, so there was a report, there was an issue between personnel, we thought it was the city. I didn't recognize any of the names, not that I, you know, necessarily would have. Sent it to Nancy she said, I don't know any of these names. It doesn't make sense. Well, it turned out it was a business, and it was, I'll just say it was fleet related, but it was a good story, and we got to know it a little bit before we figured out that it wasn't the Carson City. So anyway, little humorous. So let me back up to two items I wanted to talk to you about a little bit. So performance metrics. So that was a placeholder, performance metrics validation. That was a placeholder project to potentially audit some of the source data for the performance metrics that are on your site. I was just going to bring that up now because if you want to do something on it, we should sort of decide that soon so that we don't run out of time. I'm not bringing up saying that we should do something. I just wanted to, and you wouldn't have to decide now, but certainly by next meeting. So if you want to discuss it now, great. If you want to give thought about it between now and next meeting, but just I think we should make a decision about that soon if we're going to. And then the other one, and then, of course, we can discuss any of these, the IT security review. So what I had committed to you is that by this meeting, I would touch base with Eric, and we'd give some discussion to what we might be able to do under a placeholder IT security project. And so what we talked about as possibilities, to the benefit of the dialogue, was one we kind of started with, could we do some penetration testing, because that was kind of one of the, you know, a logical thing to do. As it turns out, the city is on the state system, so anything that comes to the city is coming through the state. That in and of itself is not an issue. We have other clients that that's the case. However, the more important issue relative to that is the city's in the process of trying to get off the state system. If that happens, then doing some penetration testing now is not of the highest value. It would actually be something worth doing more later if that change occurs. So then we talked about the potential of doing some IT security training, which we could do, but where we kind of landed on was to help the city develop an IT security policy. It's something that Eric is on his list to do. They don't have time to do it. We have folks who can certainly do that. So that was something that we thought would be a win-win. So that's one thing I'm bringing to you for your consideration. And the second part of that is, although that doesn't quite fit within a $10,000 budget, which is what we allocated. And so, but what we did determine is we could do that. Our IT security team put together a proposal for $18,500 plus expenses. So let's say we could do it within $20,000. We have the budget available dollars within our internal audit or overall internal audit budget where if, for example, our current expenditure, if I can find it, on the audit findings validation is $2,100 out of $15,000. I know we'll do some more validation, but I'm pretty comfortable we could carve out $8,000 to $10,000 out of that. And if also, if for instance, we didn't end up doing the performance metrics validation, there's another $5,000. Anyway, I'm pretty confident that we could squeeze another $10,000 if you were okay with that from the existing budget. So I'm asking for more money. Anyway, so it's basically a two-fold consideration for you. I'll stop talking.
Quick question.
Yeah.
Where are you seeing the numbers for the budget?
Okay. At the bottom of this page, sorry. So you'll see each one under budget status says expended of in and of budget. So the first one's basic internal audit, or $7,700 out of $10,000. The next one, $2,100 out of $15,000. Unless you give us some inordinate amount of validation work, which I don't anticipate, I think we're going to have plenty of money to work with within the overall budget to make that happen if you feel that's a good use of our time. I think it is. I mean, I'm suggesting that it is, but that's your decision. And, of course, if you have any questions for Eric, I'm not going to speak for him.
I don't know, I'd like to open it up for discussion. How big of an issue do you think our IT security is? We've got a new ERP system that's coming into play at some point in the next year and a half. So let's have a discussion on risk versus reward and the cost here.
Question. If we're on the state system, how much control do we have over doing things like this?
Clarify for us, Mark, when you say state system, what does that mean?
Do you want to speak to that, Eric?
Let's go to the authority.
Okay.
Might as well make use of being here, right?
Yeah.
Eric, why don't
Schimmelman, CIO for the city. On the state system, so we use the state backbone for our internet connectivity.
Are any of the supporting software packages and so forth, or is it just basically an internet portal that you're going through? Is
Software is either local or on a cloud base outside the state. Now, we do have some applications that we use within the state system. That's one reason why we have that connection. So our court system is actually based off the statewide system. So as an example.
So, based on your knowledge and so forth, and the various hacks that have happened, Equifaxes and so forth, what risk do you see to the city as far as IT security as it stands right now?
The question is, I'm trying to define, are you talking about to change from the penetration testing through the state? I mean, we've got a lot of security there built into the system, and we get a lot of benefits by doing that, but there's also some limitations being on the state system.
Let me ask a question differently, if I could. Whose responsibility is it to maintain, if we're on the state's backbone, is it their responsibility to maintain a security? Is it ours? Is it theirs on the front end? And then ours on the back end? I mean, I assume it's ours on the back end, but if they're protecting the front end,
correct,
how much do we have to worry about the back end? I don't mean to be simplistic. But
right, but that's, and that's why we use a lot of the state front end to do some protection. That's why the penetration testing did not make sense at this time, because what I told Mark is, you really, in a $10,000 limit, you're going to be giving a report to the state. That doesn't mean no good, because that's about as far as you're going to get through the networks before you start getting into us. So,
right. Versus IT security policy, which obviously goes beyond just the internet. And so the penetration testing, limited value, overall policy, more value. So that was the logic.
Maybe I can reword Stephen's question too. Are you doing the risk assessment? In what areas would there be the greatest risk of there becoming a problem? And that's, I guess we're wondering, I'm assuming that you do risk analysis and look at what the vulnerabilities are. Assume.
I don't know that we can discuss that in an open meeting. That's my issue right now, is I can't put out what we know, what we don't know.
I guess that's a good point. It's a matter of, you understand where maybe there's a higher risk, some vulnerability. So that's why we're looking for some recommendations. Okay, so if there's somehow you can kind of give us recommendations of some areas where we need to kind of go in and take a look at and test, that would help out.
My suggestion would be, and there's obviously other options. So from a risk standpoint, you have external, from an IT perspective, you have external risks and you have internal risks. A security policy is dealing with that holistically. Obviously, penetration testing is dealing with really just the external risk through the internet. I think that you would get value in doing penetration testing when you're back into a new environment. So maybe next year or the year after, depending on what the time, I know you're hoping for sooner. So, but a security policy is something that they do need. That is, it's a risk in that's not in place. And so at least we know that it's something that is security, IT security related. It's something that the city needs. It's something that we can certainly do. That doesn't mean that it's the right thing to do, in this terms, but it's a fit.
But shouldn't that be set up if we move to a new platform initially as opposed to a year or two later?
Policies,
yes.
So we have basic policies. We just want a tighter security policy overall that encompasses everything, not just the new systems coming on board. This has nothing to do with individual systems. It's overall security policy, combining all the small policies that we have into one and working with those and getting those.
within compliance. Some of them are outdated policies that we've had since when I started in the 90s.
But these policies all encompass the internal, not the external, because you have the control over the external. Is that correct? If the state is running the external, you have no control over that other than permissions.
It's a city
policy. It's a city.
Right, okay.
So
you have to have a whole brand new set of policies to handle the external as well, because you'll be running the external. You said you were in the state system.
The intent is for this policy to cover what we allow through when we get to our own connection out to the external. Yes.
Mark, what will be the involvement from Moss Adams on that security policy?
So we can do, I'll say the heavy lifting on the policy. We can't be we can't make a management decision, right? So what we would do is we would get input from Eric and his team on the front end in terms of what exists, anything in particular they would want to make sure that we cover, just to the extent that we wouldn't think of it. We would assemble best practices, develop a draft that for city review, city decision making on what's in and what's out. But basically, his challenge, they could do it, they just don't have the time. We have the time and the expertise. So we can do the heavy lifting. It's not going to be our policy. It's going to be the city's policy because we can't audit our own work. But we can provide, basically fill that hole for Eric's team. So input on the front end, review on the back end.
Okay. Any other questions?
Maybe just a question, a philosophy, a thought process, maybe all rolled into one. So when I look at the audit committee and the roles of the audit function versus writing of a policy, so I'm going to start with absolutely agree that the policy work needs to be done. The question then becomes, should it be via the Moss Adams contract to write the baselines and do that versus potentially just de-augmenting the portion from this role this year and having you do a contract for service to write a draft policy to get going. So if that makes any sense, I want to make sure that we keep to the mission goals and objectives of this committee. And when I look back, I'd have to see, I did not bring my binder with me with the charter on this committee. So does it fall within the charter of what this committee would spend audit dollars on? If that makes sense, what I'm asking, if you go back and look and,
we can go back and look at that. And
if so, if the charter allows for us to commission towards a policy, because that is a weakness in our internal control, so if you can see it under the internal control component or something, then I'm interested in looking at it. I just don't want to do that at this juncture without the knowledge that we're sticking to our requirements.
I think our goal is we don't make things, we make things better. And that's what we need to look at.
So,
maybe
Scott,
do
you have it?
I'll see if I can find it. I'll pull it up. The only thing I can say for sure is what we're talking about falls under the purview of the other audit committees that we work with, in that, there's audit work, there's policy work, there's process work. You have to draw lines, right?
Right.
'Cause again, you can't audit your own work. But that always just comes down to the same independence, which is not making management decisions, which we never do.
Right.
The auditors never do.
Right.
But you be careful, right?
Right.
But I'll see what I can.
Yeah, I just want to make sure, because I'm very conscientious to make sure committees always stay in their lanes, if that's a proper terminology here.
And IT security is definitely, part of the overall internal control structure. So it's whether the policy form, so the question is whether the policy formation is part of that internal control structure. And the value I see that Moss Adams brings is they've, audit multiple cities, they've got possible best practices that they could provide us as suggestions, and especially at this time where we're, getting ready to convert over to a new ERP system, it could be very valuable and worthwhile time to spend some time developing an overall IT security policy.
Thank you.
found it. It's a miracle. Adriana, could I give this to you to take a look at?
Yes, and actually, is it on our website?
Well, I just got it
off my okay.
laptop. So it might be, but it's...
And just for clarification, Supervisor Bagwell, you just wanted to make sure that you have authority to delegate the duty to create the policy for the board?
You got it. Okay. I want to make sure it's within the authority that was granted to the audit committee under our... That's correct.
Just to clarify, they wouldn't develop the policy. They would provide a framework of what the policy should entail. Eric's team would be responsible for owning the policy and policy implementation. And then at some point down the road, in a year or two, we come back, audit the new ERP system we're putting in, and then also audit the implementation of the new, you know, the thoroughness of the implementation of the security policy.
Right. So if we were, So if we were doing an audit of IT security practices against the policy, we don't want Eric saying, hey, you can't ding us for that. That's your policy. Like, no, it's not our policy.
Catching right on.
Right,
that's what I said. It's a real fine line in which lanes we go down, and I just I just would prefer to keep things in their own lanes.
Yep, totally agree.
But the performance metrics validation, so one of the discussions even really deals with should we continue that potential $5,000 budget to do that. And so that's our first step, I think, even is to determine, do we want to keep that? Do we want to indicate that we don't want to move forward with the performance metrics validation? And so getting ready for this meeting, of course, one of the, I can't help myself, right? I have to go do research. And so you go on to our website to look at what the performance metrics are. And do we want to spend dollars with those validations? I'm going to go out on a limb here and say no. Again, what's our risk, our value, our use of dollars? And based on what I can see currently out there, I don't know that we should be moving down this lane either at this time.
Just a refresher, I don't... vaguely remember talking, I'd have to go back and look at my notes from the prior meeting when we were talking about the audit plan for this year, but what were the primary concerns around that?
I think this was your item, Lori, in terms of primary input.
So originally what we'd been working on for years, actually, as the audit committee, was to get the city to move closer to a performance-based. And so we put this in place, again, in the plan over a year ago, thinking of a method of where we're going, but I don't think that the departments have enough matrix on the site for us yet. That's what I'm trying to say, is I just don't think it's fully ripe for audit, and that's all.
Yeah. And Steve, the thinking was, if I remember correctly, is, okay, these metrics are on there. Might we at some point want to audit the data so to validate that this metric's actually reflecting performance? Now, I'm not saying that it was a placeholder, right? And I don't think it's the highest priority myself, so I'm not offended at all. But I just wanted us to make a decision about it now or next meeting. That's all.
One thought I have on it is I'm kind of wondering at what point will the departments be ready so we can take a look? Because this has been going on for a while. And maybe, if anything else, we can go in there and take a look at what we do have or report back who's falling behind on it. Maybe that would be the good use of those dollars to kind of go through and review it with them. Otherwise, is there something that can be done to get them to start to put together the data and get it up there?
So I will try to put my other hat on now. I will say that the difficulty really becomes in the development of the metrics in the first place. What is an important metric to report? Which one brings true budget value? And I think it's just a much broader and bigger task than anticipated, and it really takes a top-down force for that to happen. You know, it's going to have to come from the Board of Supervisors to say, I'm just using an example, we want three performance metrics per department, and you will develop those and get them approved by the Board of Supervisors, and, you know, it's mandatory. So unless we put from the managerial end a requirement, it's not going to happen. I don't know. I just need to be clear, right? And again, when you look at everything that the city's working on, of what value does that drive? So is it truly going to drive the budget process? We just had a meeting, all of the supervisors, right? And we had a retreat, and we talked about what methodology really drives the budget process. So is it performance-based? And we're going to look at those metrics, and then that's what's going to make your decision next year on whether you get another person that mows the lawns. I'll use parks as an example. Maybe their metrics says we cut all lawns to a quarter inch. That's a metrics point, and we hit that 62% of the time. We're able to achieve that goal set. So either the city has to give me another lawnmower if you want that goal to be 80%. Is it? That's the whole issue. And so I just don't think, I'm just telling you straight up, I don't think the city's, I don't think we're there yet. I just don't think they're prepared to dive in and drive the budget from the metrics. Do I think it's good that each and every department should be going through and analyzing their milestones, their, you know, where it is your thresholds for good service? Absolutely. I'm just saying that to put this money here for this year, we're not there.
Well, I can see that, but I guess what I'd like to see is if we can do something to get there. And I know in the past we looked at some metrics and some, you know, some key performance. So I thought that those were recommended, that they were going to be using those, or else getting back and coming up with some other measurements that were maybe more important to their managing the departments. But I guess we spent a lot of time and money on this whole performance thing, and would like to be able to see if we can. And also, too, I guess the second issue is this is going to be like a top-down thing. So what do we need to do, make a recommendation to the board for that? Or?
Well, so I think you're seeing a board right now that is, you know, very conservative. And so part of the value has to be, so let me ask, I'll just ask it in a plain question to all of you. I'll use the park example because I just know that one well. Does that mean if I can't make my goal that you're going to give me another FTE, or I just get to continue to look bad in the parks department that I'm not meeting the goals? Do you see the it's the way they work, and I think that's the issue, Ernie, right? Do you sit there, and then I'm the Board of Supervisors, and well, okay, then let's change the matrix and say we're going to go to a half inch for mowing the lawn because I don't want the city to look bad that we're not making a service level. It's an entire philosophy, and you're right. And so it's really having the board and the city staff find some of those matrix that are the true, we're going to drive the budget to that goal, right? Is there a few of those that we say, hey, we're not going to drop below XYZ service level? That is right. So that's a discussion.
Well, so I don't know if this is the time to do that, but I guess we got to come up, because like I said, we've spent a lot of time, money, energy on this whole performance. We've got it all set up. But now it's like the last little piece of it being implemented and being able to hold them accountable. So, again, I guess my question is, what's the next step do you see that we need to take? Is that something where maybe we as an audit committee make a recommendation to the board and say that this be considered, and they do something where there's some kind of working together with department heads to come up with
that?
Can
I think about it?
I'd really
like a chance to just let me digest it for a little bit and maybe come back with an agenda item for either the Board of Supervisors or a true discussion point here if we want to be sending a recommendation, but I think it's a future agenda item that then we would come up with ideas. So,
well, with that, I agree that we don't do anything on it now, but instead that we Supervisor Bagwell thinks about it and possibly it does something with the board or also the next, maybe even that have on the agenda. That would probably be a good thing to have on the next agenda item to bring this up again, because I think a big part of this committee has been to really promote the performance measurements and that accountability, and we've done so much and we're so close to it, so I'd like to just see us get past the finish line on this.
I was just going to add, just to sort of link what Michael was referring to as initially, so at least from the audit committee perspective, the history from my perspective is, initially there was discussion which was quite leading edge, I would say, was for the audit committee to be able to use performance metrics to gauge places as an input of where could we go look from an efficiency effectiveness standpoint. And that is, I don't have any clients who do that. And so we took a cut a couple, 3 years ago at a set of performance measures by function that had an efficiency measure like cost per FTE, cost per capita, an effectiveness measure. But that was on with the understanding that the city was going to be doing a strategic plan. As Eric was just saying, the measures that are on your site are tied to the strategic plan, as they should be. And those sort of two sets should have some overlap. They're not necessarily mutually exclusive because some of those are the department version versus the citywide version. So what I was just going to suggest is, why don't I send back out to the committee for Lori's and everyone's thinking of it, just what that was. And I'm not sending it saying that's the answer, but it's this, for example, the audit committee could have something that it looks at for its purpose versus what the board, for example, looks at for its purpose. They could be one and the same, but they don't have to be. And I'm not saying that that's the answer, but just to get everyone kind of back is like how we get to where we are, and then think about what you think works best moving forward.
Yeah, and as I remember, those were, I mean, they weren't hard and fast. This is what, but it was kind of like, I think you had two or three performance measures for function. And so that they would be able to kind of take a look at it and say, hey, but really for the management's sake, really what's important for you and what's important for the supervisor. So it's really, I guess what happened was we just didn't really pursue that. I thought that it was going to the department heads and that they were kind of coming up with that. So somewhere there was a disconnect there.
We put them in with the strategic plan when we had a retreat. We met with all the department heads. We each had different tables, and they each came up with a few that came together. What I'm thinking, though, is we should see both sets of the documents, the original ones we were working on, then the ones in the strategic plan, and then maybe the piece that's actually missing is an annual report on the performance indicators. And I think that potentially is the segue that got missed, you know, is that there's not a formal report that's coming both to the audit committee that then we could review and say, hey, it's on target, it's not, or hey, should we be shifting to look at such and such, or is that even an area in which then for the future year you send your audit team on, right? Hey, this indicator's flopping a little bit here. Maybe that's what we should send Moss Adams to look at next year. So I'm really believing we just didn't formalize the reporting methodology. So before we spend money to go validate them, even just, where's my annual report that comes here and then to the Board of Supervisors? So now that I've thought about it a little, that might be our first step.
Yeah, I agree. That makes sense. Because then we have something where the department heads are kind of committing. They're standing behind this report, and then we have some, because that's what I haven't been seeing. And I think it is important. I think as the committee, we'd be looking at that every year. Yeah. You know, we don't want to set these things up and then forget about them. You know, we're kind of auditing the internal controls, but also too watching and making sure the performance continues happening. So, okay, great. Well, I'm satisfied with that. So, okay.
Yeah, and just, you know, based on my experience with key performance indicators and the development of them and maintaining them, and they should be driven off, at least in my opinion, they should be driven off of metrics that are increasing service levels So, you know, one of the things that, you know, personally I've done in departments I've managed is I make all my departments set up a service level agreement, identify who their customers are, and say, what are the key deliverables that we have as a department to another department or, you know, external customers, and then drive them, you know, develop the metrics off of those service level agreements, because, you know, we would do that with an outside firm. We'd say, hey, if you're going to handle our IT department, you know, our software or whatever, we always had, you know, very clearly defined service level agreements with that IT provider. I took that same philosophy and kind of drove it through my departments so that my departments had some accountability, and then we develop metrics off of those so that they're driving the right behaviors of increasing performance levels, either, you know, internally to other departments or externally to our customers. So, because I've gone into too many situations where you go and ask people, what does this metric mean? And they said, well, I don't know. We asked to put it together, and we put it together and handed it off. Yeah.
Well, and I think that's what reporting does, is it holds everyone accountable. Right? Because like you said, if you put it on the shelf, you never get there again and no one ever talks about it. We've just been reporting it for years, but what does anyone do with it? So I think maybe just having a report here and then a report that forwards on to the board would be an effective beginning point.
So to kind of wrap this issue up, do we need a motion to kind of pull this off the audit plan for this year? So do I have a motion? Somebody want to it up? It's pretty easy.
I make a motion to remove from the audit plan the performance metrics validation project.
I second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Passes unanimously. Thank you.
Okay.
So that one's off, right?
Yes.
And then you want to go back?
Yeah, let's revisit the take a look at that, Adriana.
Sure. And there's plenty of authority given to the committee for whatever means are necessary in order to accomplish the goal, which is, you know, better processes, better policies. So there's throughout the entire charter, there's different provisions that allows for you to do that.
Thank you. So it's within our scope to evaluate or, you know, have Moss Adams provide some framework for the IT security policy. Draft IT security policy. So do we need a motion on that then?
I think so.
Yeah. So.
So
it's a little different than what we had originally.
It means we have to, so we have 5,000 available from the metrics that we just defunded. Then the question is, do we want to lessen the budget for the audit findings validation and move to create a new bullet item for a draft IT policy? Is that's the discussion point, right?
Yeah, I would just say the two is, one is the proposed project for IT security review as policy development acceptable? And two, is it okay? Do you approve at what you just said, Lori? I'd say shift the 5K and then 5K of the audit validation, findings validation, to increase the IT security budget from 10K to 20K. And I think that will be more than sufficient. It'd be sufficient.
20,000.
I thought we were going to re...
IT security.
We're redirecting the scope of the IT security review. So
yeah, that's the first item.
Right. So
what we're talking about is what we would do under that placeholder.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I don't know would the cost go up if we're saying, hey, we're not gonna really do an IT security review. Instead, we're gonna use those dollars to get a draft framework of an IT security policy.
Yes. We're saying the dollars would need to go from 10 to 20 to do that piece of work.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's any comments? That's,
so let's just cut to the brass knuckles here. How many hours was that based on? Obviously, you said you did a preliminary kind of review to determine that you needed a $20,000 budget to do the draft IT security policy. So what's that based on?
So our IC IT security team, the partner there is Kevin Villanueva. He was on the call with Eric and James and I. So they came up with a budget of $18,500, and then I'm just building in a buffer for expenses. If we don't need $1,500 for expenses, we won't use it, but the fees would be $18,500. And that was based, we do this for a lot of municipalities, and so we knew we needed to be lean, so we do these for that amount and a lot larger amounts for bigger organizations. You know, what I told them was that we have 10, we could probably squeeze some more, you know, potentially this conversation. So so they were working to keep it under 20. So
hey, quick question, Eric. If you were going to contract with somebody or have somebody internally develop an IT security policy involving best practices for the city, just off the cuff, what would you expect to spend on that? Just either whether it was an internal resource or an external resource.
Ben, probably $75 to $100. I mean, that's what I would budget for. And do we do an external, whatever the contracted rate is, but that's what I would kind of look at. No. That's how many hours. And consultants run between $150 and $250 an hour. I mean, I've got various ranges.
Magically, we fit into that.
Oh, but it's important, again, right?
I could go, he budgeted 100 hours, and it's
That's really what I was after is...
That's my guess. I don't know.
How many hours you were budgeting for the project.
Yeah, honestly, I don't have a budget breakdown. I'm sure Kevin does. I have the dollar amount. I mean, I could ask, but I won't make it up.
I have a quick question. Are we starting from scratch, or do you have a policy that needs to be enhanced?
Yeah, we have multiple policies that are, some of them are outdated, some are partially there, some are missing. So, but we've got a basic framework. So,
personally, to me, it's worth it if, you know, we're looking at, you know, 75 or 100 hours to develop an overall encompassing IT security policy. I think it's money well spent.
One quick question. If we weren't the ones doing this, who would be doing it or paying for it? If it wasn't this committee doing it, who would be? I mean, they would need a policy regardless.
Well, oftentimes staff do it within their job duties. And so we generally speaking, do not have to budget separate money, or we go out and get a consultant if it's a large project that we're trying to accomplish a timeline or a time frame to get accomplished. And what we have here, though, is the head of the IT saying they simply don't have this staff time in the short run, I'm assuming, to be able to get it done. So it's not that they couldn't get it done, but do we believe it's important enough to budget dollars to accomplish it quickly? I guess is right. That's what we're weighing is, do you want this to be a two-year project, or am I hearing Mark say, do you have it done before June? Right. So that's really the, can we put some dollars to it and get the project knocked out? That's the issue.
Comments on that? I mean,
and any value, Eric, in waiting to, so just my general question. As you know, we're going out on the property tax system, we're going out on HTE system. We have a lot of changes, so it's more a question in generalities that, am I going to have any dollars that I put too soon to this because we're going to add everything in, or you think the policy, the security policies, whatever, also cover the new systems? That's all I'm saying. I just don't want to do something and then we go, great, 3/4 of that's out because we now have this, this, and this.
The policy that we're talking about here is going to be an overarching. It is not specific to each individual application. We couldn't do that no matter what we did. It's always going to be a
to the global
policy that touches all bases of security across the board.
Okay. So it would just say applications in general, not the specific application. Right.
Yeah, if you even point out application, because it's not just an application.
Right.
It is network security. It is user base. It's
okay.
Across the board, different types of security based on best practices.
So the question to the committee, and we need to tee it up, is do we want to take, you know, a significant chunk of our budget and spend it on this encompassing best practice IT security?
Are there any other unforeseen things that might come up between now and June that we would need this money?
No.
Okay.
Direct your work.
Yeah.
We have a short window to finish. Yeah, if we don't do it and direct it, then the money will revert to the general fund. I mean, in essence, because they only have.
We wouldn't want that.
We might. Yeah, careful what you say there.
Make sure Jason's paying attention.
Because we really are setting their workload in an increment to say, okay, over the next 3 months, and then that window.
And that answers my question, because if it is not throwaway work, then it, in considering that the ERP is coming down the road, then doing any kind of pre-work that will assist in that future implementation would be worthwhile to do.
Yeah, without a doubt, a solidified IT security policy would help with the implementation of the new systems. Are we ready for a motion on this?
I'd like to move that we redirect the Moss Adams with the IT security review to go from testing into policy creation and shift the $5,000 from the performance metrics validation budget, as well as $5,000 from the audit findings validation budget, to make that a $20,000 budget.
Do I have a second?
I second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. So it passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you. So I believe that concludes 6A, correct? And then we're on to 6B. Which is a discussion about the audit tracker.
Great, thank you. So you should have this version followed by a bunch of pages. So one page for each of the reports that are currently open, with the exception of missing one highlighted yellow cell. that was a last minute revision. So you'll see that we have 15 new findings that have been completed by management and staff across five of the reports. So across the internal controls, which was the last one on that item. Small works projects review was the last one relative to that report. Four new ones on Public Guardian, two new completed on purchasing and AP, and then two new on the HT access, seven new on the HT access control. So, a couple other comments and then sort of the general question to you. So we also added one of the things that you asked in our continuous improvement process of this whole form. We added the date that the work was completed to the header. That was a request last. And as I was telling Jason before this meeting, this is, I talked to our other cities, this is our best practice as far as tracking. And we've made many, many adjustments, right? over multiple years. That's okay. It's always making it better. So everything that's highlighted in yellow, both in the cover page and the supporting pages, are the newly completed. So the question to the audit committee, is there anything here that you want the internal audit to validate that as completion? That you don't have to. From time to time, you have us do one or two of something of interest. You don't have to have us validate anything. But that's sort of the process that we go through each time we present this report.
So, hold on. So if I'm looking at HTE from 9/26 to 17, we don't have any remediation plan? Or did we get something later and I don't have it?
Oh, you don't have the, there was a late
spill.
Here, you can have mine.
There's a late one?
Yes.
Sometime today? Oh.
No, I don't know.
Oh. Thanks.
Take good notes from me.
Okay.
I'll make that.
Blake. Thanks.
You're welcome.
So comments on, are we just going to, do we want to just start with HTE first?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think we should just go page by page and see if there's anything we want to pull or validate.
So I'll add for the HTE web page, based off of, I reviewed the last meeting that you had in October, and your basic conclusion was that if it was going to be solved by the implementation of the new ERP system,
we tabled.
You could use that as a completed methodology for the comment, mm-hmm. and that is reflected here. And then the other avenue for disposition of the item was that policy would be updated. And so there's several items here where IT went through and updated their policies to correct it. So all of the agenda items here have been resolved in the manner that you discussed at the October meeting.
Thank you. Any comments on the HTE items?
I have a comment here. I know that item 4, 5, and 7 is awaiting the new implementation, but the changes that the policy, how do we know that the policies are being implemented for the others that are related to policy, like 1, 2, 3, and 6?
Those were items number 1, 2, 3, 5, or 1, 2, 3, and 6 were all implemented by the IT department through procedure changes that they did,
okay.
internal to the department.
So he's asking, do we want them to yes. validate that any of those happened?
Or are we doing a self-assessment?
Well, I can speak to them personally as a new city employee. I had to fill out all of those forms.
Yes.
And document the request, and it had to go to Nick to get approval for me to get access to the system. So I can speak firsthand that they're implemented and operating. So I don't know if that helps you in any manner.
Do you want me to explain what the procedures were and what we've put in place? Would that help?
I read through this, and I see there's pre-approvals, and the deprovisioning is being done. And then the third item related to number 2 was storage of the required documentation on some spot and doing some spot checks that the process was being followed.
And most of those were exceptions to the rule. So what I have said is straight across the board, there are no exceptions to the rule. So when Jason came on board, even though I knew months ago, I was not allowed and will not let my staff grant him access. Same thing goes when we had the discussion. I brought up the Board of Supervisors when Lori was elected. They're no longer going to be allowed access until the day they actually become a city employee. And this happened in October 3rd. He was one of the first employees that came across. And he said, what, I can't get my email? I can't, nope. New policy or procedure. We didn't do it in policy because we want to make sure this goes correct in here. That was a procedure internally to the IT department.
Thank you.
So are there any of the 7 items here that we want Mass Adams to validate or readdress?
I think until you have enough new employee hires, you also won't have a target-rich validation. You can do it. We've had 3 new hires, so you're going to look at 3. So I don't see anything this year really needing to be picked up for validation on HTE.
And I was going to say, that's probably something more
aligned with doing some future testing versus the validation would really just be, is the policy in place, right? That would be the validation at this point. So, yeah.
All right, next page is the purchasing AP internal controls. Comments, concerns, stuff we want to validate?
One quick question on number 10. Purchasing and contract policies and procedures will be updated to provide additional clarification. That doesn't seem like it's closed until it does get updated to me.
So it's done February 18th, is it done, Jason?
Item 10.
I'm reading through. I just want to make sure I understand stuff. The current policy requires that that level of documentation be obtained. The three quotes and increased compliance through training and monitoring. So that's already required in policy. I think what we had was an exception to policy that was noted, and we're implementing procedures to make sure that we're following current policy. If I'm reading this correctly, that's my understanding.
So we could ask for number 10 to be validated. That would be one for validation, Mark.
Sure, we could.
You can go back to your original notes on that and then validate that it's been.
And it looks like the rest of these are open with the exception of 11, so the other ones are still open, and we'll be, our, right now as of this, are targeted for completion at the end of March. So next page 13, we got the public and guardian review. And
my suggestion here would be to just wait until we do our update. Yeah, yeah, yep.
We agree. So small works projects review. There's only one item there. Looks like it was closed in December. Any comments?
And again, that's really going to be picked up with the ERP for the final, and right now they're doing it manually, so I don't see any reason to not just accept. I don't see any validation need.
Right, agreed.
So we did accept that one.
Payroll internal controls is next one, and that's not due till the end of March. So it's not closed. Next two, P-cards, still the end of March. And then we got one that's ongoing open until expected completion dates at the end of June. So those are, the rest of those are open. So I believe.
So why is internal control, why is 32 yellow? You're not going to expect to complete that again till June, right? It's at 6/30/2018, so I don't think that one should even be yellow.
So while this is not for me to answer because I'm not management, I think the discussion there was that they made their initial changes and this would be ongoing. But, Jason, that's a better question for you. But I'm responding since you looked at me, Lori.
Have they been every single policy been through its first round? I guess that's the real. Right? Because I took it to mean you weren't going to be through all of the policies till June.
From my experience, I would say that management has a practice of reviewing policies on an ongoing basis and updating as necessary. All department heads are supposed to review through Policy Tech every year their policies and make any appropriate changes. And that's our practice. I'm not as familiar with this one since it wasn't identified as a finance issue, so I'd have to go back and check and see what the surrounding understanding was on this particular.
So if my memory serves me on this, we have policy tech, and all of them are loaded up into it, but that there were some policies out there that hadn't been reviewed in, I guess your word earlier was good, Eric, maybe in years, that had been sitting out there. And so the objective was that we were going to, somebody has to look at the dates and clear them and say, yes, the policy is still active, and update the review date or whatever. And so maybe, again, we shouldn't close this till we have a clear understanding of who in the system is even the policy. And it might be
HR. HR is the department that manages policy tech.
Right. So maybe just that we get a memo, anything that says, yes, here's the, this is what happens, that they overall look at it and just can send a ding letter to say, hey,
a new department
IT, head. You haven't done it, right.
They assigned me
these ones.
40 different policies to go in and review.
Right.
And I'll admit I'm not completely done with that yet.
That's what I honestly thought it wasn't going to be till June of 18 that everybody would be done.
Just real quick update. So HR is responsible for the overall general policies. Every department has their own internal policies. HR does not monitor, manage those in any way. So, like IT has
right.
a few of our own. Public Works has a bunch of theirs. I know they're one of the largest users.
And how are we going to, and maybe again, it's the missing piece to this one, who has the overall responsibility to make sure that each department head is updating their policies? And what is the method, that, right, that nothing's slipping through the, so I don't want to close this one yet. It might be a bigger discussion item, too.
Okay. Hey, Mark, quick question. Like the P card, I'm just using the P, there were more findings than two for the P card and internal controls review, right? This is just...
No, there were two. I'm looking at that spreadsheet right now, and we don't have any. I don't have any rows hidden, meaning other things. I can pull.
There was one where there was.
I'll pull it up.
Anyway, I'm just.
I thought we moved it to the other tab for.
Archive.
Yeah, to the archive.
Because there might have been. You know what I'm saying? Like,
and
if we're talking about items that we want to validate. I don't see all the findings on the ones that have been closed and resolved are the ones that we might want to actually look at.
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you're saying.
The one I'm thinking of, too, is the cash. I know we had some cash handling. The findings in there were somewhat concerning, and those were some of the ones that I would like to make sure that are wrapped up, buttoned up tight.
Hold on.
Since we don't have this in front of us, maybe we just table this till, because we'd be having another mini meeting, what, probably May?
April, maybe, but we can wait to May.
I think there's the cash ones on in here. I'm pretty sure there were more P card out of.
Yeah, there were a lot of P card
out of. So maybe we just table this till the next meeting. Yeah, I know there was.
We're starting to validate now or before we.
Right, and I'm specifically thinking of the cash handling ones. There were numerous findings there that we might want to just spend a little bit of time revisiting. Yeah.
Right.
So just so you know, the cash handling, we handled that differently. I'm looking at the report now. That one was done sort of more as an approval. I'll say an improvement versus an audit. And so we didn't have findings and recommendations. We have a whole, basically a whole bunch of like best practice things for the city to implement versus something to audit against like all our others. So that one's a little different. That's why you're not seeing that in here.
Didn't we have closure dates on those? And it was, to me, coming in new, it looked like an audit. Like they look like audit findings. Yeah.
Are you sure you're thinking of
that? Things like the safe, you know, to be able to, that each department needed to have its policy. The deposits, that's right. Who carried the money, who... And remember, though, we closed it with the final one where the treasurer's office, we had Gail put a whole training together, and she gave us the video presentation. Yes. So they were all just recommendations and a whole bunch of best practices. But potentially, that would be one that we would turn around and create an audit in the future. Because now that she says all the training's been done, all the departments have put their procedures in place, now we might want to turn it into an actual next year's audit plan to discuss and now go check the cash practices.
Yeah, so right. So right. I think that what you're thinking of, at least in terms of findings, those were in the internal controls review, so I'm just doing a search. So we talked about SAFE and stuff there. And then that cash handling was kind of a, I'll just say sort of like a process improvement versus an audit. And so, right, so you're not finding them showing up in this tracking because that was different. But the P card, but I also want to respond to your question about P cards. And I'm not putting my fingers.
Right? The guy was gone and his P card was still active. I remember that one.
Say that again, July 27th?
Yes, July 27th. We just added that.
Thank goodness we added that, huh?
Don't you?
I can't find the report.
I know.
So I don't know it. I'm for some reason, I can't answer your question.
For the sake of time, let's just revisit it. At the next, so table that to the next audit committee agenda. So do we need a motion on following up, or is it just, I don't know that we need a motion. This was a question from you as far as.
Yeah, I think, and you correct me if I'm wrong, I heard validate one thing was purchasing number 10. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's all I need.
Okay.
And I'm going to find the P card report.
So is there any other, 6B kind of says, you know, is there any other issues on the audit tracking finding, audit findings tracker that we want to discuss?
Yeah.
And provide any recommendations to the board for completion or closure of projects.
And we don't want to close. Like I said, I don't recommend that we close item 32 on the internal control review until we have some further understanding of that.
And I'll make that adjustment, so that won't go away.
Right, that one won't go.
So it doesn't really look like we are proposing to close anything at this point.
We could close HTE.
Yeah.
And what about the small works?
All right, so any comments or discussion on HTE or the Small Works Projects Review? And these items could be teed up for possible closure.
I'm okay with recommending to the Board of Supervisors that these be closed. HTE, seven of them. And then item three, the final one on Small Works Project.
Okay. Is that a motion?
Yes.
Second? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Passes unanimously. Next item for discussion is the external audit, I believe. And Jason is going to, this is 6C on the agenda. Jason's going to talk to us about that, how that process is done. Thank you.
Yes. Jason Link, Chief Financial Officer again. This is an agenda item to approve for the Financial Review Committee's recommendation the award of the external audit to Piercy, Bullard, Taylor, and Kern for the period June 30th, 2018, 19, and 20. And a little bit of background, we had previously been with I. Bailey for 16 to 20 years, somewhere in that range, as an external auditor. We did an SOQ. We received 6 responses. We interviewed 4 of the respondents and are recommending for your approval onto the Board of Supervisors the award to Piercy, Bowler, Taylor, and Kern.
Jason, can you kind of cover the primary, like give us the top 3 reasons why they won over the other 5 bids?
We did a series of reviews. First level review, we just reviewed the response to SOQ, and the review committee's recommendation at that level was to award to Piercy Bowler. They were the highest respondent at that point. We did go out and do interviews for the top 4 candidates, and again, coming out of that review, they were selected as the number 1 choice as well. They have extensive experience within the state of Nevada dealing with both counties and cities, and their experience and methodology for having the staff on site. They have, instead of using the typical pyramid model where you would see less involvement from the partner, theirs is more of a cylinder-based approach, and we would have more access and involvement from senior leadership on the audit, of the audit firm involved with the audit as well.
One of the things, too, I was kind of wondering about, usually I think in the past we've seen like some of the audit comments, and has this committee seen or heard any of the audit comments and recommendations from I.D. Bailey for the last audit? We did not. Yeah, I mean, I guess I would like to take a look at that.
They need to be added.
They need to be added.
I didn't have that report. There were some findings, right? Yeah, those need to be added to this report.
Yeah.
If that's your point.
Yeah, that is my point. I would like to see
the tracking report.
Right. I'd like to see and see what exactly where things are at and what they found and discuss that and take a look at that.
And they have in the past.
Okay.
There's only been a few each year in the past, but yeah, those need to be added. And if you don't mind, I know it's rude. I got to run and catch a flight. You'll just let me know what date you pick. Not March, April or May.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mark.
Okay, thanks.
All right, Mark. Yeah, so I guess at this point, I guess we've got kind of a short window here, but I'd like to know what the comments were in the past and how can we get a copy of that or see, you know, and possibly, I know, you know, always in the past we had somebody come here and they'd talk with us and be able to question them, and I guess I'd like to see the firm at least find out what's you know, what their recent comments were and for us to be able to discuss that before we make any recommendations.
This is for, yeah, there's 2 different issues. So that's kind of like this fiscal 16-17 audit and kind of closing that up, but did they present to the Board of Supervisors?
They did present to the Board of Supervisors in December.
Okay.
It usually comes to the audit committee, and it potentially just got inadvertently missed because of the transition between Nancy and Jason, but the external audit needs to come through this committee so that the audited findings can get picked up and reviewed and monitored for success.
We will make sure that happens in the future. And if that was my oversight, I apologize.
Can we get something sent to it? I mean, I'd like to see something now. I don't want to wait till next year.
Yeah, the 2017 fiscal year audited financial statements are online on the city's website. We ended up with four comments or material weaknesses coming out of there. I was going to try and pull them up and...
Yeah, I'd like to talk about the material weaknesses. I would like to, I think as the audit committee, we should be aware of that. and that could actually influence our future projects, too. So.
So maybe while he's pulling that, too, generally when we see these types of items to ask us to recommend a vendor or something of this nature, we're able to see what the other types of proposals, we like get spreadsheets of all the different contractors that bid, and it we would be able to see that, yeah, that we can see the cost, because you're asking us to blindly do this. And so I'm just saying it's a real tough spot when we don't have any data.
Yeah, I was a little surprised, because I know in the last meeting we didn't know that this was coming, and then I saw the agenda that this was on there. So it's basically saying, yeah, give us your rubber stamp.
Right, and then we can attach this for material with the minutes. Right.
For
so if we share this with the committee, then he'll need to leave a copy
right.
with.
We'll have right. to upload it as part right. of the information.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the 6. Oh, but we can't see what the issues of scoring were, like what you were. I can see the overall score, but not the.
Yeah. We would have to get that information from contracting.
To see what the pricing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I just hate to say you're asking me to do this in a vacuum. I'm kind of in a loop.
So, typically.
Their actual price. Points.
So typically this would work, how would this work? This would come to the audit committee, we would do a review.
And then we would recommend that they have sound judge, recommend that approval to the board of supervisors.
And then the board approves that, right?
Yeah, so one round the first way.
What's the deadline on getting, what's your time frames on this, Jason?
The award by the Board of Supervisors has to be done by the end of March.
The end of March.
Mm-hmm. Why?
There's a statutory requirement that the appointment of the auditor has
three
to be
months before the end,
before
of,
the end
year.
Of the fiscal year.
Yeah.
So
a special meeting just
well, we don't make a recommendation and go to the board.
That was my feeling when I saw this on the agenda. I hadn't heard any information, hadn't seen the audit report, nothing. So I think we need to be. I know in the past, one of our board members, former board members, Bill, made a very big issue about wanting to see these things before it even went to the board. So
I don't know. But let's have a discussion. We have a special meeting in early March.
Recommendation, yeah. And then they put a different package together for the Board of Supervisors to determine. Let me say it differently. I think it is the responsibility. Is that not one of our charters? Is to, again, I look back to, are we supposed to be recommending the external auditor? And if so, then we should have the special meeting. You see what I'm saying? If
we're
supposed to do it, then I want to do it.
Yeah, I know that we were always looking at their recommendations and
right.
looking at that before we went to the board. So I think it's within our purview.
And I think so. You can put both kind of together, right? We could have the meeting that brings us Ide Bailey's last audit for us to discuss the audit findings, which we should have already done. So maybe it's putting both things together.
Yeah,
right. It's normally the November-December meeting when they finish the audit. So I think maybe it could you could do both.
If we did have a special meeting, how soon would we have to do that for there to be enough time to look it over and then get back to make a recommendation to the board?
But also, too, if this went out for a RFP, or, I mean, I don't know. Well, I guess it's contingent upon the board approving the committee's, not this committee, but the group recommendation. So I'm just wondering if, I'll have to look at the charter, but at some point, maybe your committee had decided that you would, you know, delegate or entrust that duty on this group to be able to decide who the best, you know, the best auditor is, and that's how it's been. So
that one.
Okay. So you've never, I mean, you've always had a say as to which firm the internal, the staff group.
Yeah, I think they asked for continuance, and that's what it's been. It hasn't been a big thing, but I know we've always focused on looking at the year-end reports and questioning them. Like Dan Carter would be right there, and we'd be asking about the comments. And
so just the process has changed for the last year or so.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't know. If I was on the Board of Supervisors, I would want the audit committee to recommend the external auditors or internal auditors. So perhaps maybe we have a special meeting 2 weeks from today on March 7th.
Let me look at the timing because I know the agenda for March 15th has to be posted.
Probably a week earlier or something.
Let's see. March 5th is the deadline. So it has to be posted usually by Wednesday the 7th. So all of the materials would have to be in between the 5th and the 7th.
So next week. So next, could we do a special meeting next Wednesday, the 28th, or March 1st? The Thursday?
March 1st.
Is it? Okay. So the 28th? And I
can do any time in the morning on the 28th.
I'm open.
You posted by Friday. You don't do the agenda.
No.
You posted by Friday at 9 a.m. or something.
I think you guys come in. If I can't make, I have to check my calendar. But you know, so if I can't make, you still have a quorum.
Tuesday's fine with me too.
Yeah, we did it that way. Tuesday.
So Tuesday is maybe problematic because you have to post by tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., which means you have to have everything done tonight in the next half an hour.
Does it?
Friday the 7th.
I'm busy that day. I'd have to be. Yeah, I'm busy that day. Does this technically have to be a public meeting?
Yes, if you have a quorum.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then it has to be agendized, which is 3 days before the meeting.
Right.
Can it be an evening meeting?
Yes.
Yeah, why can't it be an evening meeting?
That's fine with me.
Because it wouldn't be a long meeting.
No. I think it'd be less than an hour.
Yeah.
How about 6 o'clock on Wednesday, the 28th?
That works for me.
Planning Commission meets at 4:30 in this room.
Well, we can do a different location.
Maybe we go 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock Wednesday?
7 p.m. on Wednesday?
Yeah.
Everybody can do that? 7 p.m. What time is the planning
commission? And I don't know what's on their agenda. we can't guarantee that if they're going to be done by 7 p.m.
Have to meet in the televised. The law says we have to post it and record it, correct?
Yes, but where would we meet then? A different location?
One of the other ones.
Okay, so then you wouldn't have to do it at 7 p.m. You could do it anytime.
Well, we're moving it after 5. So
oh, right, we just want to do, right.
Make it probably easier for people because so if I need 5 certain
seconds. Everybody can do it? Is that better for you, Jason?
5 on the 28th.
Does that work for you?
Yeah, where are we going to be?
They'll put it on the
they'll
nose.
Put it, they'll confirm with the planning. Yeah.
The bonanza room or the.
Okay.
So 5 p.m.
February 28th, special meeting on external audit, the 1617 external audit findings and the process that has been gone through to select the new external audit.
Question of presentation. Would you like Ike Bailey to present these items? Or are you okay if I present them? If we need Ike Bailey there, I would need to confirm with them before committing.
I think we can ask them. If they can't make it, then you can go ahead. But if they can make it, I think it would be good to, you know, hear it from them. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Can our next meeting be after tax season?
Yeah.
Well, we might as well set that too, so that we can let Moss Adams know.
So public, well, this, so item 6C is we're tabling it until February 28th meeting at 5 p.m. Item number 7 is public comment. The public is invited at this time to comment on any matter not specifically included on the agenda as an action item. No action may be taken on a matter raised under the item on this of the agenda. So there's no public, so that item is closed. And next meeting date needs to be scheduled. So let's tee it up.
We'll wait till after April so we can have the two audits that he should have done. So large public work. So we need a May meeting, right? So like the 8th? See the 8th? Is that a good one?
Oh, 28.
It's at 3 p.m.
Uh-huh. Does that work?
Is it possible to move it to the 10th?
On a Thursday instead?
Is it always on Tuesdays?
We usually do Tuesdays. Okay. But doesn't mean. We're the 3rd and the 17th in May. I can do the 10th. Can you do the 10th, everybody?
I can do the 10th. It's my birthday.
Well, it's a great celebration.
Yeah, there's the 10th. No better way to celebrate.
Some cupcakes and candy.
Oh, he's in. Okay. So are we doing 3 o'clock on the 10th?
3 o'clock on the 10th works.
So long as this room's available. Are you checking?
So next meeting, May 10th, 3 p.m. And with that, no other comments. This meeting is adjourned at 4:30.